Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
When you are sitting here thinking, oh God, I've got to be holy and have I done enough for you to move in my life now, you aren't considering God and His promises. You're considering your goodness. Your focus is on yourself. And I guarantee you, you are going to always fail if your faith is in yourself and in what you're doing.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my second week of teaching through the book of Romans. It's not quite a verse-by-verse teaching, but it's covering nearly every verse. I'm summarizing a few things. And I tell you, this teaching by Paul in Romans is his masterpiece on the subject of grace. It's just powerful. And we've put out a brand new book on this entitled Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. At the time I'm making this program, we don't even have it printed yet, but by the time you see this 3 months from now, it will be available. And we're also making available my Living Commentary. That is a digital commentary on over 25,000 verses of the 31,000 verses in the Bible. I tell you, it's awesome. And then we've also got DVDs and CDs, and we're making some free offers. We're giving away these grace encounters. These are DVDs that each one of these DVDs has 5 testimonies on it, a total of 10 testimonies of people who have been miraculously transformed by the grace of God. And so please get these materials. There's no way that I can go back and summarize everything I've talked about. Like I said, this is the end of my second week. I'm going to continue teaching this on our programs next week too. But we are now in Romans chapter 4, and in chapter 4, Paul had already proven that everybody, Jew and Gentile, religious, non-religious, good sinner, bad sinner, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that nobody has relationship with God based on their goodness. It's only when we put faith in Jesus and His goodness and what He did for us that we can have relationship with God. And then in the 4th chapter, he uses 2 Old Testament examples to prove this. And specifically, he talks about Abraham and David. They were 2 of the greatest figures in the Old Testament, and yet both of them were fatally flawed. David maybe probably more so than Abraham as far as what people consider big sins, but David committed adultery and then murdered a woman's husband to try and cover up his adultery. He was guilty of adultery and murder, and yet David is the man who is after God's own heart, and who here we are 4,000 years later talking about David because of his faith in the Lord. And these 2 examples, Paul right here in this chapter shows that it was their faith that made them accepted with God, not their performance. This is critical that we understand this. And he's using Abraham as an example here. And in verse 17, he says, "As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations." I don't want to get lost in the weeds trying to explain this, but just real quickly, the word Abram meant father or exalted father. The word Abraham meant father of many nations. And God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. His name was Abram, and he was an exalted father. But when God made this promise, and in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, when Abraham says, "I believe you," God made him righteous right then and changed his name to Abraham. And it says, that's what it's referring to. And it says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead." That's talking about Abraham's body was dead at that time, and he quickened him and made it so that he could have a child, "and calleth those things which be not as though they were." When he changed his name from exalted father to father of many nations, he changed his name and called him a father of many nations before he ever had a child. In God's heart, it was a done deal. And it was before he had earned it. This was before he went through the ritual of circumcision, which the Old Testament law said if you weren't circumcised, you had to be put to death. And so it wasn't based on his performance. It was based on his faith, and God counted him righteous. God called him a father of many nations before he even had a child. And then later he had Ishmael, which was a mistake. That wasn't God's plan. And Ishmael was the father of all the Arabs. Of course, Isaac was the father of all of the Jews. And we've had an Arab and Israeli conflict ever since then. This dates all the way back to Abraham and Sarah doing the wrong thing and trying to help God to fulfill His will, which was just caused nothing but a problem. But after all of that, when Abraham was 99 years old and his wife Sarah was 91, and the Scripture says it had ceased to be with her after the manner of women. That's the old English way of saying that she had been through menopause decades before. It had been a long time. This woman was incapable of having children. And so when Abraham was 99, Sarah was 91, or 90 at that time, God appeared to him and told him, next year you will have a child. And Abraham and Sarah both believed God. And so when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 91 years old, she gave birth to Isaac. It was a miraculous birth. And these verses, the last few verses of Romans chapter 4, tell you how this happened. It happened by faith. It didn't happen because Abraham was holy enough and did everything just right and deserved it. It was all because he believed God. Keep that in mind as we go through these verses. So in verse 18, it says, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Again, he only had five words, "so shall thy seed be," that he hung his faith upon. We've got millions of words, hundreds of promises, and yet there's Christians today that don't put their faith in that. Their faith is in themselves and in their good works. Abraham only had five words, "so shall thy seed be." And it says, "who against hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations." See, God had already promised it to him. It was by grace. He didn't deserve it. It was promised before he ever did anything to earn it. It was a grace gift, but Abraham had to believe in order to receive. And in verse 19, it says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." You know, let me just say that I have taught on these verses. I could probably teach for well over an hour on these five or six verses that are remaining in this chapter. I've only got just a few minutes on this program. I'm going to have to skip through some things. But it says, "Be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead." The word "consider" means to think, study, ponder, deliberate, examine. In other words, he wasn't focused on his body. Most of us, if God was to tell us something miraculous, like you're going to have a child when you're 100 years old and your wife is 91 and it's been decades that she has been through menopause, and if God was to tell you something like that, the first thing most of us would do is start going on the internet. What's the oldest that anybody ever gave birth to a child? Is this possible? We would go to the doctor and get checked out. Is it possible? We would consider all of this other stuff. Is it possible? And then after everything we've read and every person we've talked to says no, then we'd go back to God and say, "God, are you sure?" And He'd say, "Yes, I'm sure." And then you'd struggle and say, "Why is it so hard to believe?" It's because you considered all of this other stuff. But see, Abraham, he didn't consider the fact that he was 100 years old and that his wife was 91. He didn't even think about it. It may have come into his mind, but he certainly didn't focus on it. You know, I think it was Kenneth Hagin that said, you can't keep thoughts from coming. It's like a bird flying over your head. You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from landing in your hair and making a nest. And you can't necessarily keep a thought from coming. I'm sure Abraham knew he was 100 years old and that this was impossible, but he didn't focus on that. He focused on the Word of God. When you are sitting here thinking, "Oh God, I've got to be holy and have I done enough for you to move in my life now?" You aren't considering God and His promises. You're considering your goodness. Your focus is on yourself. And I guarantee you, you are going to always fail if your faith is in yourself and in what you're doing. When I first got turned on to the Lord, I had a great grace encounter with the Lord, but it took a while for me to renew my mind and to understand the things that I'm sharing with you. And so in the beginning, I remember making a promise to God that, God, would you please anoint me when I stand up to minister the Word? And I made a deal with God. God, I'll fast and pray 2 weeks before every time I get to minister. I thought that was a good thing. You know, it was a dumb thing to say because now I'm ministering, I've counted it up this week, I think it's 21 times this week. 21 times. And if I had to fast 2 weeks before each one of those, man, what would that be? 42 weeks that I would have to fast for just ministering as much as I'm ministering this week? I'd be dead. I'd be plumb gone by now. That was a dumb thing to say, but see, what I was trying to do was to barter with God. God, I'll give you this time and focus and holiness if you will give me back the anointing and anoint me. That's the way that most people think, but it's wrong. You can't barter with God. You can't offer Him your goodness. And when you're sitting there and you're thinking about, have I done enough of this? God, do you want me to pray more? Maybe if I fasted 2 days instead of 1 day, maybe that'll break it. Anytime you get into that mindset, you are no longer putting your faith in God and considering only Him. You're considering yourself. You are doing things. You are looking at yourself. And the bad part about that is that you'll never measure up. You'll never be good enough. You know, again, back in the very beginning, after I'd had this grace encounter, but I still hadn't renewed my mind, I didn't understand these things, I remember just wanting to have more of a relationship, to hear God more. I remember getting up one morning and I fasted all day long and I read Scripture and I read from Mark. I don't know why I started in Mark, but I read from Mark all the way through Revelation. I read every book in the New Testament except Matthew in 1 day. And it was about 16 hours worth of reading. And at the end of the day, I was just feeling so good about, God, look what I did. God, I know you're going to love me now. I know you're going to release something special. I'm expecting you to do something special in my life because I prayed and studied the Word 16 hours today. And did you know, as soon as I said that, I had the thought come to me, you were up 17 hours. You wasted an hour. You could have done more. And instead of me going to bed feeling good, I actually went to bed condemned. Oh, God, I could have done more. Forgive me for wasting an hour. That's the way that the law is. It doesn't matter how good you live, you could always do more. None of us are perfect. You could always love your mate more. You could always give more. You could always read more. You could always do something else. As long as you are considering yourself and looking to yourself, you're always going to come up short. But the key to Abraham was he didn't even consider himself, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The next verse says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Again, I could preach on these verses for a long time, but you can't be strong in faith if you aren't giving glory to God, if you aren't praising God. It says over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted, the next verse says, rooted and built up and established in Him as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding in what? Abounding in faith with thanksgiving. If you aren't giving thanks, then your faith hasn't reached its highest level. If you're still down here in the trenches saying, oh God, help me to believe, and you're struggling, your faith isn't complete. It's not complete. It isn't abounding until you get into thanksgiving, to where you not only are trying to believe for something, but you're saying, Father, thank you that it's a done deal. Thank you that through Jesus I've got it. You've got to be rejoicing to truly be operating in faith. And this is what it says that Abraham did. It says that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was praising God. When God appeared to him and said, you're going to have a child by this time in the next year, he didn't even think about himself or about Sarah. He just started praising God and thinking only about the fulfillment of that promise. He saw it done, just like God called him the father of many nations before he even had a child. In God's heart, it was done. True Bible faith considers something done before you ever see it. If you have to wait until the doctor confirms you're healed before you believe it, you aren't in true Bible faith. Am I telling you that you shouldn't go to a doctor and get it confirmed? No, that's not what I'm saying. You can use that as a testimony. But I'm saying you have to believe when you receive, not when you see it, not when it's confirmed, not when the money is in the bank. You have to believe when you pray. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and then you shall, future tense, have it. It may only be a second, it may be a month, it may be a year, but future tense, you will have it eventually, but you have to believe you've got it the moment you pray. You have to start rejoicing, and that's what Abraham did. When God told him, next year, this time you're going to have a child, he started rejoicing. He didn't even think about himself. He didn't consider how impossible it was. That's faith. People who are looking through to God through grace, they can rejoice even when they don't see it. But a person who believes that you've got to earn it, it's like you're on a treadmill. You can't ever stop. You've got to just constantly be evaluating yourself and checking yourself. Have I done enough? God, is there something else I've got to do? There is no rest to a person who is operating under law. But when you're operating under grace, you're looking to what Jesus did, and you rest in Him. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 is all about. It talks about that there is a rest to the people of God. You cease from your own labors, and you just enter into Jesus has already purchased it for you. You don't have to earn this. It's like God telling you, I've got it. Don't worry. I've already done it. And the only work that you do is just to keep your nose in the Word and keep focused on faith. It's not that you have to do something to earn it, but you've got to keep your faith built up. And so this is what it's talking about Abraham. And it says in verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Again, I've mentioned this earlier in the third chapter of the book of Romans, but the word impute means to record, to put to your account. In other words, it wasn't because he earned it. It wasn't a payment. He wasn't being paid because he had done enough and earned the favor of God. He believed God, and it was just imputed unto him, given unto him as a gift. It was imputed is what this is talking about. And it was because he did it by faith. And so it says, therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. This is saying that these things about Abraham were written for us so that we could learn through him. Somebody might be thinking, why are you talking about a guy that lived 4,000 years ago? What does this have to do with me today? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it's verses 6 through 11 there. It says, all of these things that happened to the Old Testament saints are recorded for our benefit so that we through them could learn how to not lust after certain things, not how to murmur and all of this. But they're our examples so that we can learn through them. So this is saying that the reason that these things were recorded about Abraham and even his failures were recorded was so that we could see. For anybody who has eyes to see, Abraham was not a perfect man. Abraham disobeyed God in a number of different ways. He was a person. I'm not trashing him. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it was clear in the Old Testament that Abraham and David that are mentioned in this chapter were not perfect men. David committed adultery and murdered to cover up his adultery. And yet, he was a man after God's own heart, and God blessed him. And here we are thousands of years later talking about these two men. These things were written about them, and even their flaws were pointed out so that we could see that, no, you don't have to earn God's favor. You can't earn God's favor. You just have to humble yourself and receive it as a gift. Let me say to those of you watching, I've been making these general statements that apply to all of us. But if I could talk to you personally, if you were right in front of me and I was talking to you, I can guarantee you there's something that most of you are believing for, either health in your body, prosperity, wisdom for something, a marriage to be fixed, a relationship with your children or with some person at work. There's something you're believing for. And yet most people, they don't doubt that God could fix the situation. But what they're doubting is that God is willing to do it because you feel condemned. I know I haven't sought you the way I should. I haven't been the person. If you're believing for a marriage thing, well, I know I need to be a better husband or a better wife. And until you get yourself fixed and feel worthy, you aren't going to really be able to rejoice like this is talking about and say, I know it's a done deal, because you don't have that assurance. You know that you've come short. If that's describing your attitude, it's because you don't understand the gospel, the nearly too good to be true news that God doesn't give you what you deserve. He'll give you what you can believe for. You can get it through Him, through Jesus, not through yourself. You know, when you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, that's become a religious cliche, and a lot of people just say it and don't think about what they're saying. But what you're saying is, when you say, in the name of Jesus, you're saying, because of His righteousness, because of what He did, not because I deserve it, but because I put faith in a Savior I expect to receive. That's what that means. And if you put into that prayer, oh God, I'm trying harder, I'll do more. If you will do this, I will do that. And then you end by saying, in the name of Jesus. You just took the name of Jesus in vain because you weren't really trusting in Him. You were trusting in yourself, and it was obvious by the barter that you made with God. And so you just took the name of Jesus in vain. It's become just a religious cliche to a lot of people, but it should be that when you are needing something and when you pray, you say, Father, in the name of Jesus. That means because He's righteous, not because I'm righteous, because He was holy, not because I'm holy. And the only claim I've got is I am putting faith in what Jesus did for me. In His name, I expect to receive. That's what these verses are talking about. Abraham didn't use the name of Jesus because that hadn't been revealed yet, but he did put faith in God and in God's salvation and not in his righteousness. And that's the reason he obtained, and it was written for our benefit so that we could learn through him. I've got a lot more to share, but I'm going to have to continue this into our programs next week. Again, we've got a brand new book out. I've got my living commentary that we're offering. We've got DVDs, CDs, and we're also giving away these DVDs that have 10 grace encounters on it, miraculous testimonies of people's lives who've been changed. And I tell you, this would be a faith builder. Listen to our announcer as he gives you this information, and please contact us and ask for these materials.
Andrew is pleased to announce the release of his brand new hardback book titled Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. This brand new book includes all of Andrew's personal study notes and commentary on the book of Romans, compiled from Andrew's Life for Today Study Bible and Living Commentary. This valuable resource is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, is also available in a CD or DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each of these valuable resources are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today, you heard Andrew's personal revelation on the book of Romans. You can study through the entire Bible with Andrew when you get his continually updated living commentary. This extraordinary resource contains his personal study notes, footnotes, and commentary on over 25,000 Bible verses. Andrew has priced this valuable study tool at only $120. Go to awmi.net to download yours today. Also today, Andrew's offering the Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs as his free gift to you when you write or call. This special offer is a $50 value, absolutely free when you contact us today. Or you can get each of these valuable resources as part of the Romans package. This package includes Andrew's Living Commentary, as well as the Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, hardback book, your choice of either the CD or DVD album, and Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs. This incredible package has a catalog value of $275, but you can receive all of these valuable resources today for just $197. We want to say a special thank you to the Grace Partners of Andrew Womack Ministries. Your gifts make it possible to put free ministry materials into the hands of many people in need. If you're not already a Grace Partner, we ask you to pray about becoming one today. You can become a Grace Partner or order resources through our website at awmi.net. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. You can also order resources or receive prayer by calling our helpline at 719-635-1111. Our helpline is open Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, and Saturday and Sunday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. In the month of July, Andrew will be hosting a special Charis Day livestream event. Please note that the main campus in Woodland Park will not be open to guests. This event will take place via livestream to participating Charis Extension campuses worldwide. Lastly, in July, Andrew will be hosting livestream events to Indonesia and France. And in August, Andrew will be speaking in Durant, Oklahoma. Next, come to the campus in Woodland Park for our annual Healing is Here conference. Then, join Andrew and guest speaker Dwayne Sheriff at the Chicago Gospel Truth Conference in Lombard, Illinois. Lastly, Andrew will be speaking in Lena, Illinois. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
I wanted to let you know that we have now teamed up with a ministry called I Donate so that we can receive cars and boats and stocks and jewelry. We have only done this a very short period of time, and already we've had tens of thousands of dollars worth of things donated. People, you know, that don't have cash, but they have something that they want to donate. So if you're interested in that, you can follow the information on the screen and participate, and we would love to help you give these assets to the ministry.